Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Who would have ever thought, you know, in the beginning when God called us out and launched us out, that we would be hearing something such as this? I think about some prophetic words that we'll be sharing today about how God is bringing to pass a new way of hearing the news. A new way to begin to hear, you know, not just the news, but what's the news behind the news? And who would ever thought this week that Brett Hume on Fox News declared the end of broadcast news? As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
ABC News, which tells me that he was in violation of its policies, but he'll still lead the campaign coverage in 2016, and just said, oh, it was an honest mistake.
Well, they've got a lot invested in him, and ABC News, like the other major networks, is gradually, slowly, but inevitably turning out the lights, and they don't have, you know, the kind of stars that used to populate the benches at those networks. So they got a lot invested in him, and there's a reason why they want to keep him going, just as at NBC, it didn't want to see this happen, what happened to Brian Williams happen.
That's amazing. Did you hear he says that they're gradually and inevitably turning out the lights? Like all of them, like, what's going on? Well, I'm excited that we heard from the Lord that we're stepping out, that this is a day that truth is going to come out in regards to, you know, God loves mankind, but he specifically is involved in our lives, and he wants us to be connected to what he's saying and seeking him. And so one of those things that we've been hearing about, there was a particular nun that we talked about. Her name is Sister Diane Mamika, where she was in Iraq, and she was wanting to come to America, and they were keeping her from coming to America. I mean, everybody's coming to America. I mean, it's like anybody can get in if you've noticed what's happening in our borders, but they were holding her back. The reports are the reason why, according to one news source, was that she knew the truth. She knew what was going on in Iraq. She knew that the massacre of Christians were taking place, and they didn't want her to come to America and begin to speak out on this. Well, once that word got out, within 7 days, less than 7 days, some Americans who were concerned about it got her into the country, and she testified before Congress, letting Congress know exactly what's taking place in Iraq and how horrific this is. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at, this is Sister Diane Mamika appearing before Congress a few days ago, letting us know what's taking place over there. Watch this.
Do you think that the ISIS targeting of minority communities and areas has primarily been due to strategic opportunity, just because you're there and it's easy, you're vulnerable, or is there something more deliberate? I mean, would you articulate if it's one or the other or a combination of the two?
As I mentioned earlier, Mr. Congressman, that it was quite shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes, left with nothing at all. I myself, only with my habit and my purse, which I was lucky I had my passport in it. Most of my sisters and most people left with no documents, nothing. So it started with Nineveh plane, and it was gradually, so if it was deliberately or not, I can't say that, but all what I know now, we were driven out of our homes within a couple hours. That was it, without any warning.
This is so important. So this is just happening, and she's saying, we're watching the news, and we're not realizing at any moment, because they're asking the question, like, you know, why didn't you know? They didn't think it would be us. And next thing, the thing that they're watching on their TV became the reality, and all they could do was just go with the clothes on their back. You think about that. Go with the clothes on their back. Why? Because they were watching TV, and it's like when you're watching TV and you're seeing what's taking place on the news and what we show you, these are authentic things that are happening to human beings. And we have to understand that it could happen in our community, it can happen in our neighborhoods. As a matter of fact, this particular senator here, as he's speaking to her, he said, he's asking her more questions about what is the condition of the faith of the people that's under such great persecution, because she's saying Christians are being persecuted, and where is America in this? That's why she's actually coming to America, saying, please wake up. Listen to this, watch.
And finally, let me ask you the faith of the young people. has to have been. I know we saw that wonderful video of those, the resiliency of those young women, but the faith of the young people has to be shattered. They must wonder, where are the faithful elsewhere, particularly in the United States? I don't think we've done enough. Again, the special envoy vacancy speaks volumes to that. But if I could ask you, where is the faith of these young people? Are you?
The matter of fact, Mr. Smith, is that our faith, it's amazingly that we see it's increasing more and more. It's making us more stronger. We left churches that were like used to be filled with people. Now we have only one church, and you see people, like young people or old people, they see that we say we still have faith in God, that we were displaced, yet we feel that the hand of God is still with us. So in the midst of, as my colleague said, in the midst of this darkness, of this suffering, we see God that's holding us. It's holding us. Otherwise, we wouldn't been able to be witnessing to our faith that's increasing day after day. And I think this is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that's giving us the strength to continue our faith and to be strong, to stay in our country. Some left, yes, but they are willing to come back when we go back home. And we have this hope someday we'll go back home. And that will come through your help.
You're thinking, you know, she's sitting there saying, you're seeing, she held her finger across her throat. You're seeing people beheaded. You're seeing your brothers and your sisters, you know, just, it's horrific what's taking place against the body of Christ. Jesus said, you know, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. Whatever you didn't do for the least of these of mine, you didn't do for me. You know, what are we doing with such a great persecution? So she's coming to America in Congress. When somebody stands before Congress and begins to share their story, that's them sharing it with you, because Congress, the House of Representatives, has the greatest amount of the representation for every single state based on the population. And that's kind of how we set things up in the American government. So when you see her speaking that way, she's talking to you. She's not talking just to the congressman there, congresswoman. She's talking to us, going, this is what's going on. We get back from this break. We want to hear what took place on the blaze. As somebody was speaking very specifically about it, Johnny Moore. And he was one of the key people to help bring her to our attention and what's going on to be able to get her to America to be able to testify. But what she said to him is amazing, heartbreaking. And we got to say, you know, what is going on? I believe that if we begin to cry out to God, and I know I haven't told you yet that you can partner with Samaritan's Purse. And if you partner with VFN TV, you are, you know, partner with Samaritan's Purse. But Franklin Graham with Samaritan's Purse is right in the middle of that. You can see that on the lower parts of your screen. But let the Lord find you busy about his business being there.
One of the most important things about you, about me, about anyone, is the answer to the question that Jesus asked his own disciples. First he said about others, he said, who do they say I am? And they said, what people were saying. And then he said, but who do you say I am? This is the most eternal answer that you'll ever have. Because Peter says, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of the living God. And so Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Be careful about separating yourself from different ideas and expressions. If somebody has made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life and they see him for who he is and they've entrusted themselves to him, that's what you got to ask people. Not what's on the outside of your sign, but what's on the inside of your heart. Do you know who he is? And we need to stand up. And when you see somebody like Sister Diane Momika saying, you know, crying out for humanity and saying, you know, be there, appearing before a Congress. And, you know, right prior to this, I think about, you know, Johnny Moore. He's the author of Defying ISIS. He was on The Blaze and he was being interviewed about this whole situation. Mm-hmm. And he was being asked about what did, you know, Sister Diane talk about when she's thinking about America. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. This is a shocker how she was perceiving America. She lived here for about 6 years, so she has a good idea who we are. But take a look.
Some good news for you. Today on Capitol Hill, Sister Diana Momika addressed the House Foreign Affairs Committee about the plight of Christians in Iraq. Johnny Moore is a friend of ours and been following her story and here to tell us more on what has exactly happened. Johnny, how are you?
Doing great, Glenn. Good to see you.
I am so happy that she got in. Can you tell me how this happened? Because there had to be a lot of people involved.
Yeah, and the chief of which was you, by the way, Glenn. I mean, it's no coincidence that after Sister Diana was on your television show, it was the only show that she made an appearance on, that the whole nation started talking about it. And actually, it was a miracle on the level of parting the Red Sea. Within 1 week, we got the State Department to totally reverse traction, and they gave her a visa. And that was last Friday. She finally got the visa from the State Department, and we had her in front of Congress today. So she testified in front of the Foreign Affairs Committee. You could hear a pin drop. It was a really, really powerful moment. And you know, and of course, you know, I remain like incomprehensibly angry that it took this much effort to get this persecuted nun to the United States. But it's exhibit A of what happens in this country when people raise their voices and they demonstrate that they care about an issue. And this is one of the most important issues of our time, and we have to keep speaking up.
Okay, I have to tell you, thank you for bringing this news to us about how she came in, because honestly, as I said to her, I sit in this box and I know that people at home feel like they're sitting on the couch and they're watching, or they're watching on their iPad, and nothing's happening. We're not making any difference, and we're, you know, we're losing everywhere. And to be able to feel like, yes, this woman, the State Department and every big player in Washington was against it, and she comes on this show, and in part we played a role, that is thrilling. Now, tell me exactly, because she's coming over to talk about the plight of her people. She's living basically, if I'm not mistaken, like in a cargo container, as is everybody else from her town, Erbil, right?
Yeah, so Sister Diana was displaced twice by ISIS. So, you know, ISIS moves into, or terrorists in 2009 into Mosul. They set a bomb outside of her monastery, and she moves up to Karakosh, and then ISIS comes into that town, and she's living in Erbil now, taking care of thousands and thousands of people. And so, you know, the plan was for her to give eyewitness testimony to say exactly what is going on and what needs to be done. And, you know, and I'll tell you, I'm just holding the transcript in my hand, and here's some of the stuff she said. You know, she said that a cultural and human genocide is being taken place in Iraq, and the only Christians that remain in the plain of Nineveh are those who are held as hostages today. She said, why don't the Christians just leave Iraq, you might ask? And I would ask you, why should we leave our country? What have we done? We're the first people in Iraq. You've read about us in the Old Testament. We got the gospel from the Apostle Thomas. That's who preached us the gospel. She said, we are Christians. That's our only crime, she said. And just like you wouldn't want someone running you out of your country, we don't want to be run out of our country. And we don't deserve to be the victim of the most brutal persecution in our history. And that's what she said exactly in summary form. You know, and it was amazing. I mean, here she is sitting in front of all these powerful people, all these congressmen, you know, this meek and mild little woman that's changing so many lives, that's taking care of so many people. And she just called them out on the carpet, and she didn't do it in an offensive way. And it was just the voice of a prophet just sitting there and saying, I've seen it with my own eyes. I know these people. I have been persecuted by ISIS myself, and we have to do more. And I'll tell you, you know, the congressmen that were on the panel responded, and you know, they asked what can be done and what should we do. And I think they were genuinely paying attention. You know, but the problem is that, you know, it was a year ago when ISIS took over Mosul. I mean, this has been a long and persistent act of their genocide against Christians in the region, and Congress needs to stop asking what it is that they should be doing, and they need to start doing things. They need to provide safety for these people. You know, that's what she said, by the way. They asked, you know, what needs to be done, and she said, well, number one, you got to kick the bad guys out. You got to give us our land back. Number two, we need security, and we need help rebuilding our lives. You know, and the fact is that not enough is being done. And as we saw, you know, in Texas last week, I mean, ISIS is adapting. They're adapting more quickly than our terrorist apparatus is keeping up. I mean, we're still executing an Al-Qaeda type strategy to try to defeat this ISIS terrorism. You know, and it's a whole different beast. You know,
Johnny, I have to tell you, I think it's worse than that. We are defeating ourselves internally. You know, when I didn't agree with what Pamela Geller did, but she has every right to do it. I understand the point she was trying to make. But she was turned into the bad guy here. We don't have freedom of speech. We are making the same mistakes that they made over in the Middle East, I don't know how many years ago, by just allowing it just to sit there. Egypt has just stopped this by letting this coexist as an equal as an equal idea. And it's not. It's absolutely not.
No, you have to stamp it out. That's what has to take place. I mean, we've been playing whack-a-mole with the Middle East. We've taken a back seat. We've let this all fester over and over and over again. And here's the situation we're in. I mean, a half a decade ago, 5 years ago, there was one failed nation in the world. It was Somalia. And Iraq and Afghanistan were improving a bit. Now, Iraq and Afghanistan are going the wrong direction. Somalia's a failed state. Syria's a failed state. Yemen's a failed state. We've lost the northeast of Nigeria. We have significant pockets of ISIS and ISIS-affiliated terrorists in Egypt and all across, you know, the African continent, as we saw so clearly in Kenya. And by the way, you know, I mean, what we saw last week was a clear ISIS affiliate in Phoenix communicating openly on Twitter, and we didn't catch it. You know, that's what happened. And so, you know, while the big talk in Washington, D.C. is about, you know, the government tapping into our phone records, I mean, the fact is, you don't have to tap into anybody's phone records to know what's happening. They're doing this publicly on Twitter. You know, and by the way, there was a study, you know, that we've talked about before, you know, late last fall of you know, Arabic language tweets in the United States of America. And in the United States of America, one out of five Arabic language tweets in this country was in support of ISIS. I mean, what's happening is the United States is executing an old strategy. It's a 10-year-old strategy. And I know in government terms that seems like new and contemporary. But the fact is, you're not going to kill ISIS by getting rid of bin Laden like you did with al-Qaeda or taking out Baghdadi. It's a whole different movement. It's a grassroots movement. They've outsourced the training camps. You know, it used to be that you had to go to Afghanistan and learn a language you didn't know and live in rudimentary conditions to join this fight. It's not that way anymore. You sit in the privacy of your own home, in front of your computer, like we're talking now, in a language that is your first language, and you get trained, and then you can take your American passport and travel to Turkey and walk over a porous border, or you can walk across the street to a community center. And I think that rather than spending all this energy trying to, you know, keep nuns out of the United States so they can't testify in front of Congress, which is just stupid bureaucracy, I think, you know, all of our law enforcement, the FBI, the massive Homeland Security apparatus we have, needs to be adapting more quickly to a totally new threat. And it's not going to end by just knocking off the leader.
So, Johnny, real quick, because I think I have, what, 2 minutes left? About 2 minutes left, just under. I'm curious to know if she talked about the beheadings or the crucifixions or anything else that is happening, because I think people need to understand that that's real. Did she talk about any of that? And did you see any of the people there in Washington seem to have a change of heart or connect deeply? We have 1 minute.
She alluded to it in broad terms. And by the way, what was even more astonishing was that the congressman on the panel specifically referenced these things, which tells you they can't say they didn't know. All they can say is we haven't done enough, and they haven't done enough. And I remember, Glenn, when I met with Sister Diana in Iraq, I sat down with this dear, dear lady, and she said, if we would have stayed in our city, they would have done to us what they did to everybody else. They would have sold us. They would have taken the boys to the madrasas. They would have beheaded us. That's what they would have done. And here's what Sister Diana told me. She said, I lived in America for 6 years. It's a wonderful country. You're beautiful people. She said, you take care of your pets so well. Why can't you take care of your Christian brothers and sisters in Christ? I am totally confused at America's silence in the face of our genocide. And so today, we made one step forward, but we're not anywhere near where we need to be. And so we have to keep the pressure
Johnny,
on.
I thank you.
I'm really confused. You know, I lived in America for 6 years, Sister Diana says, and I'm just really confused because you take such good care of your pets.
Wow.
But you don't take care of Christians. You don't take care. You're not responding. And she's watching. We're seeing in the distance what she saw in her very presence. They put a bomb inside of where she was living.
Yeah.
They had to run and flee with the clothes on their backs. She's watching people beheaded. She's watching the persecution. And she's watching us in America.
Do nothing.
No. Take care of our pets. To spend more money on cappuccino and dog shampoo than we do specifically for helping them out. And you think, what can we do? Listen, America's poorest person, the poorest person in America, statistically now, reports are, is richer than 70% of the entire world's population. Think about that. Over 7 billion folks, the poorest person, I'm not talking about middle class, the poorest person's wealthier than 70%, reports are, of the world's population. And it's like, we can do something. Wow. We can do something, least we do nothing.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to respond, because this is Lucifer 101. We always talk about JJ. Where do the Jews and Christians come out of this? The Jews and Jesus, the body of Christ. What happens? What happened in the time of Hitler? And what happened in the time of Hitler is happening today. The very same thing is happening. Israel surrounded. You're going to be really surprised what the Pope just did. And we'll talk about it when we get back from the break. But realize this. You saw Sister Diane. She's on the front lines. You think that the leader of her faith would actually be backing her up in the context of this. Instead, it looks just like what happened in the days of Hitler when the Pope came together with Hitler and his old concepts. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.